Elevate every morning with Tommy John's Second Skin underwear. The luxurious support of Second Skin guarantees everything will go smoothly. With over 20 million pairs sold and thousands of five-star reviews, guys love Tommy John. Plus, your most valuable assets are covered with Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear or its free guarantee. Get 20% off your first order at TommyJohn.com/Spotify. Save 20% at TommyJohn.com/Spotify. See site for details.
You're listening to the Animation Addicts Podcast with the Rotoscopers, episode 166, Your Name, Space, The Final Frontier.
Welcome to the Animation Addicts Podcast with the Rotoscopers, Disney, DreamWorks, Pixar, Don Bluth, and everything in between. I'm your host, Morgan Stradling, and I'm joined by... want to know your name. What was your name?
What's in a name?
Oh, Chelsea Robson.
Ah, yes.
That's the name.
That's what it is. What's your name? Tell me. What is it?
You're mixing your movies, Chelsea.
But I know.
Yes, that's a common thing is amnesia, forgetting names. It's a good thing when you're making a movie.
Yeah, there you go. Welcome, everybody. If this is your very first time on our podcast, basically, this is the deal. We are just a couple of friends. We sit around and we talk about different movies that are either current or maybe in the past. This specific movie that we're going to be talking about today is just a couple of years old. So it's exciting to be able to like jump into the almost now. Is it 3 years old now? What?
2016 is when it debuted in Japan.
Okay, well. It would have been better if it would have been 3 years ago.
Well, we can stop the recording right now if you want to wait so it's 3 years, just so it ties into the movie very well.
Nah, we can keep going.
Okay, we'll keep going. So just so you know, the movie that we are going to be reviewing today is the film, the anime film from Japan, Your Name. And it was requested by Dustin, one of our patrons. And first off, I have to... apologize, I got called out in the last episode. You might have been like, wait, what movie are they watching? I called it No Name, which is a little different than Your Name. No Name does not exist. It's kind of a mixture between the movie No Name and No Face from Spirited Away. So take that what you will. That would be the great spinoff where it's called, you know, No Name. It's all about No Face. But and that alternate reality. But so I apologize. It definitely, I looked back in the notes and everywhere on the website. I mean, we clearly had it posted. I got an email. I mean, like, this is the biggest anime film in the past, you know, few years. How could you mess that up? And I'm like, you know what? If you've ever done a live recording and broadcast of anything, sometimes you're just talking, you don't realize, and you keep going and you mess things up. And then, you know, it gets missed. Yes, it gets missed in editing and you get called out on it. So, apologize. Was not intentional. We all make mistakes. We're all human. So Your Name. If you'd like us to talk about No Name, we can make that movie for you. We'll just need a few more Patreon sponsors.
Just
go to rotoscopers.com/Patreon. And I guess we can talk about that when we hit our, you know, $1 million a month level. Maybe. We'll talk about making a movie.
We could work on that.
But yeah, I'm excited to talk about this because I definitely had heard about this film. It, you know, finally made its way to the U.S., and I had heard lots of buzz about it, but never actually saw it. So this was an opportunity to check it out.
Yeah, we've had lots of people, especially in the Roto Nation Facebook group. We've had a lot of the different patrons talk about it over the last little bit. So now I feel like I'm in the know because I hadn't seen it prior.
Perfect. All right, let's jump right into it.
Let's do it.
Finally, the time has come. Everything up till yesterday was a prologue. Skimming through the days of old, it's my turn to bear the load.
So like we talked about, we are talking about the movie Your Name, which when it is translated to English, and I guess Japanese has this as well, sometimes you'll see it Your Name with a period, other times not. I think the literal translation has a period in the title, and I'm not going to lie, that always really bothered me. Don't like punctuations in my movie titles, particularly periods, just because it like feels off. It's like, well, yeah. You're a title. Why are you there? Go away, period. So,
well, and also if you were to do like a question mark too, that would be kind of weird.
Well, I could do question marks and I could do like exclamation points. I feel like there's some movies that warrant that as part of their titles.
Yeah.
You know, like Who Framed Roger Rabbit, but I don't even think that has a question mark. But anyway, the period is the one thing that I will call out as a negative. You really didn't love that, but let's move on and actually talk about the movie. So before, let's talk about who produced this, some basic facts. These all come from Wikipedia, Box Office Mojo, and the like. So the film was directed by Makoto Shinkai. Again, I'm not Japanese, so I will, you know, I'm sure I'm butchering that. And the studio was Comix Wave Film. So this was kind of more of an independent film. You know, it's interesting, a lot of the times when we do talk about Japanese anime or animation films that come from Japan, majority of the time on this podcast, and I'm pretty sure 99 to 100% of the time, we've only done films that are Miyazaki or Studio Ghibli.
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at IKEA-USA.com today.
So I liked that this was a film that wasn't by that studio and it has received great recognition and attention worldwide. It's kind of exciting to see, you know, that other films and studios can be successful. But
and how great how it was so successful.
Right. So obviously it was released in Japan, but worldwide it did $358 million U.S., overall, which is huge. It basically blew everything out of the way. It was a box office success. It is the second highest grossing film in Japan, like for a film created in Japan and released in Japan, behind Spirited Away. So, and then as far as like any movie ever in Japan, it's the fourth largest behind Titanic. That's a great one. Titanic. Behind Panic, Frozen, and then obviously Spirited Away. So really, really incredible that it can do so well. And I think Japanese animation films, I think animation in Japan is a little more, you know, well-rounded and highly regarded amongst everybody, rather than in the U.S. where a lot of times animated films are just seen as kids and family things. This, you right. know, older people, couples, people in their 20s, 30s, they'll go see animated films and there's not necessarily this association with it having to be related to kids. And I wouldn't have called this necessarily a kids film at all.
No.
It was definitely more teenage
definitely not.
Which we'll talk about. I mean, I don't think there's anything bad in this film that I would prevent my children from seeing it.
But
per
definitely
se.
Not
Maybe,
geared toward kids.
But definitely not geared toward kids. Right. So there's a little backstory. Really exciting. This is definitely one of the most popular films to come out of Japan recently. So let's talk about it.
Yeah.
So what were your first thoughts?
I was so confused. I mean, I had heard no plot points at all about this movie. All I knew is that people liked it. And so I was like, great, I'm looking forward to it. And that comes in and all like the first thing that comes to my mind in that those first opening visuals was space, the final frontier. I'm just like, what am I watching here?
Right.
And then I was so confused during the first little bit. And the thing is, back in the day, they always did have title sequences and where they just had all these random things that had something to do with the movie, but not. I mean, a great example of that would be in Robin Hood, where it's like, do, 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 do. Do, 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 do. And it's like the whole everybody going and little sequence going through one of my favorites. But this one, it was just kind of off. I was because you're trying to pay attention. You're trying to grab clues. You're trying to like figure out, OK, what am I getting myself into? But everything is just so discombobulated that it's like, OK, I need somebody to make sense of this whole thing. So I feel like that's something that, you know, a lot of movies in general, but specifically animation, like anime films, do a lot of.
Mm-hmm.
And then it got to the boob shot. I was like, what the crap are we watching? Like, this is just weird.
Yeah, you know, so go rewinding a little bit. I kind of had the same thing as you, where I was definitely very familiar with this film as far as how big it had gotten, but I hadn't dug too much into it regarding the plot points or why it was necessarily popular. And so when it was recommended, well, it wasn't a recommendation. Patron pick is like, we will do it. It's not, you're recommending that you do, right, do this. It's like, no, I command the rotoscopers. You, yes, will review this movie.
We are so commanded.
I was commanded, and therefore I did. And so I wasn't sure what to go in, because I saw the poster. And the poster, like you said, Space, the Final Frontier. It has, you know, the boy and the girl, and then there's the comet in the background. And then anime itself, I think, can be kind of a wild card because it's all, yeah, over the place. It can, it covers all genres, right? But a lot of times it's a lot of fantasy, it's a lot of, you know, superhero stuff, but then there's more serious, you know. But when I kind of think of anime films, or at least TV shows, they usually have some sort of like supernatural element to it.
Yeah.
So I kind of was going in thinking that this was something like that. But for the most part, it was really grounded in reality. Mm-hmm. With just this one element that was a little fantastical that mixed it up and created a lot of drama and really, really cool aspects that allowed the plot to move forward. So,
right,
you know, and what I really enjoyed about this film, because initially I was kind of like, oh, I know everyone loves this, but it's like when I'm picking a new book, like I really do judge books by their cover unless they're recommended to me. Like I'll go through, right, the Amazon list of the top, you know, 20 books and whatnot. And I'm just like, oh, but the cover, I can't even get past to reading what the synopsis is about, because this just looks not my style. You know what I mean? And then you actually sit down and read it. You're like, wow, it was great. I really need to get over that. But when I have a lack of recommendations, then I just go back to my, does this look interesting? Anyways.
Right.
But so this one was kind of similar, because it kind of was like, what am I getting myself into? And what it did a really great job with was the very beginning. I felt that it was en media res, which is like throwing you in the action, because we're thrown in to figuring out what has happened here. Mm-hmm. You know, we see her point of view, which is really his point of view through her. And there's things that are off. And so we're kind of uncovering this mystery together. And I liked that because it really hooked me from the very beginning.
Yeah. When you go into a media res, it's very discombobulating, because, and you're just the whole time you're trying to figure something out, like, what is going on? You're grasping for clues everywhere you go. Like, please just tell me what's going on. You know, it's funny how you mentioned that, you know, you judge this book by a cover. I generally don't ever even read books unless they are really, like, somebody tells me, no, Chelsea, you need to read this one. And so there's been many a time when Morgan has, throughout our friendship, has said, Chelsea, no, read this book. I'm like, oh, okay, I'll do that.
Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh, how so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at ikea-usa.com/circular. Visit ikea-usa.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
Because it's like that moment of confusion, that moment of just like, of not knowing what is going on, is just bothersome to me. And so it's hard for me to want to get into stuff like that. But I'm almost always really thrilled.
Fair game. You just have to recommend it. Yeah. So I think one of the biggest moments, like you mentioned, that really kind of throws you for a loop is the boob scene, where she just starts touching her boobs.
Right.
And like saying, are these real? This is what they feel like. And it's very interesting and different. And you're thinking,
uncomfortable.
It is a little uncomfy. People, you're not really sure what's happening, but immediately know something's up, right?
Right.
Like a normal girl would not just be doing that first thing when she wakes up. That's just, I don't know about you, Chelsea, but from what I understand, of girls being one, that's just not how we behave.
Oh my gosh. But then I was just like, okay, is this a movie about transgender? Like, what is this? I don't know. I'm just so confused.
Well, right. Because she was like, are these are real? And I'm like, did you recently get a boob job? Or and you're like surprised that they feel so real? So like, these honestly were the thoughts going through my head initially. And I think it's actually good because, you know, they're doing this on purpose. They're throwing you in the moment. Making you confused and wonder and kind of question what's happening and why things are happening that way.
I actually did think it was some type of time travel thing because, like, oh, you're acting so differently than you were yesterday. You know, it's like,
well,
they're giving you all these hints of, like, something's different. And the fact that I was thinking, well, maybe this is, like, her going in time forward. Like, I was 10 years old and now I'm 15. Like, whoa, that's different. So right. I was like, what? I was thinking it was some type of time travel, but then I just didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, every scene we're getting more and more clues as to what's happening. And then you're realizing very quickly that, you know, within that first scene. So the two characters that we will predominantly be talking about, I think we should actually mention their names instead of just referring to him as her and her as him. It's Taki and Mitsuha. And Taki is the boy, and in this opening scene, he is in her body. And then Mitsuha, we see her body, but not necessarily her, and then we see her later. And I think really once you hit the point where she is in his body, she has a little bit more of a freak-out visceral reaction to what's happening, where it's very clear, where he kind of, at the beginning, is just, like, going with it, you know? And there's, yes, he's touching the boobs, but, like, for the most part, he's just, like, going along with life and not really throwing a fit. He's kind of just taking things in, where she's, like, very much calling out that things are wrong and different, and I shouldn't be here.
That was too real. Yeah. And then it gets to the point where the teacher's trying to teach him about, oh, Twilight. And I'm thinking, oh, yes, I do know what that means. I also have another idea that comes to my head when you say Twilight. Right.
Which was not one of the three definitions that you listed. But yeah, and that's a really good thing that they talk about initially is they introduce the concept of Twilight, that it's the magic hour or the golden hour. And then it's reiterated a few times that it's sort of this magical time where it's neither daylight nor nighttime. And you know, the grandma kind of talks about it as well, but, you know, magical things can happen. There's just like a special time where it's neither, and that we see that come to play later, but they just kind of like subtly throw that in, pay attention to this, you know, and when that happens later, when it actually Twilight does come upon them, I'm like, oh, perfect. Yes. This is what we've been waiting for. This is the magic.
Yeah.
Because we've been prepared.
Right.
So you basically were expecting 100% for them to see each other in that moment because of how it had been built up.
Yeah, it did. And what's interesting is through the whole time, as you have figured out what's going on, you know that they're switching spots and all these, but it got to a point where I was like, it's just so hard to decipher when they are trading places or not. It got to that point. They got good at being the other person for, you know, a bit.
Right. And then things, you know, this becomes almost everyday life for them where they're switching and yeah, it takes a moment. It's a moment of disorientation where you're trying to figure out like, okay, is this actually Taki or is this Mitsuha as Taki? And, you know, you have to kind of figure out based on the cues and how they're behaving, what the situation is. But then, you know, we see it so many times that it's sort of like, well, what's the point? You know, where is this going? And then boom, this big bombshell or meteor comet. Where we realize, oh, they're not even in the same time period.
Which I thought was cool.
Which was really cool and threw me for a loop and just was a really interesting element to it because you start thinking, how is this even possible where they're switching places, but not only that, they're switching in dimensions almost.
Yeah.
The whole space-time continuum thing is very trippy to me.
Yeah.
And mine blows my mind every time I try to think about it. But this really is kind of one of those instances. And so then it really throws a wrench in the plans because they, you know at some point they're going to try to meet up with each other. And he even tries to call her and things are off, right? He tries to call her and he can't connect. Says it's out of network. And we were hoping, like, well, yeah, this is an easy fix. Just call each other on the phone, one.
Right.
Which they can't do. So they're leaving each other notes. Or, like, hey, just head up to Tokyo for a day or head down and visit her. We do see through kind of, we're not told initially, but we discover that they both tried and attempted to do that with each other.
Right.
And it obviously didn't work out as planned because the other one just, it was a different time, or the other one was dead.
Yeah, that's harsh. I liked how they did that, and I liked how they showed the fact, because these are all things that we as an audience is like, go do that. And they're like, okay, no, they did. Like, it's not going to work out. It kind of reminded me of the movie The Lake House. Mm-hmm. With Sandra Bullock. Did you ever see that one?
I've seen the beginning of it. I don't think I ever finished it.
I mean, it's the same basic concept, the fact that they both lived in this house, but years separating, and then they tried to meet up at some point, like, by leaving notes to each other, but it's like they didn't get the timings right, so, like, one met the other when they didn't know who the first one was.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I should have waited a little longer.
right.
So you can't do this until after this day. I like how when he was in her body and in the town, he's like, I hate this place. It's so small and towny. There's no cafe.
Right.
I was like, oh, that's funny.
Right, but then when she's in his body, she's living it up in Tokyo, spending all his money, and I love the little banter that they're having back and forth. Like, why does it matter? You know, quit eating sweets. Well, why does it matter? Just going to your body. It's like, because I have to pay for them. And I just thought it was kind of funny that the different banter.
It's too expensive.
Right, and the little relationship that they end up forming. And we do see that relationship actually grow and blossom, and they start caring for each other. Which is really, you know, makes the payoff at the end.
Yeah.
Really good.
Well, I was really confused, like, when she was like, oh, I wanted to go on that date. Like, I was like, wait,
well,
what?
She wanted to go just because she wanted to go visit Tokyo Tower and eat at these cool places. It wasn't necessarily that she wanted to date the girl.
I was like, once again, I was confused.
Although she does have much better connection with her as him than he does as her. But that's when we start kicking off the idea that he has feelings for her, because he's had this crush on her, and clearly all the other bus boys do as well, because when she starts paying attention to him, they get very upset. But then when they actually, like, he has the moment, she's prepared the way, you know, with the little flirting and fixing the skirt and just, you know, hanging out with her and being real, probably because she's a girl talking to a girl, so there's no awkwardness there. You know, she's like, hey, we're friends, you know. But obviously she's not seeing it that way as the one being courted. So they go on this date, and it's just the vibe is not there. And she's like, you're like a completely different person today. And it gets me thinking of, you know, if this really did happen, would people in my life be able to tell? I mean, obviously, like, I am me, and all of my quirks and nuances and how I behave, like, clearly the people closest to me, I would hope, would figure out something was up almost immediately, right?
One would hope, yes.
You would hope. It's very frightening if that weren't the case. But, you know, even someone that is just a coworker in this situation is able to tell something's off. And she doesn't immediately jump to the conclusion of, like, I don't think you're you. I think you're someone else in this body. She doesn't go
right,
there.
Right, right.
But she says, I think you used to have a crush on me, but now you like someone else. And I think that's when he has his first realization that, yeah, maybe I have started to fall for Mitsuha.
Which, the fact that he was getting to know her, being her, which is different than just getting to know somebody, right? Because he actually doesn't know anything about her and her likes or dislikes or just what other people tell
him. Well, but they do communicate through the notes that they leave on the calendar.
Yeah.
You know, like, they almost have little journal entries to each other. So really his only way of knowing her directly is through her writing as she's informing him about the day and whatnot. But yeah, I mean, I think just because I was in someone's body and lived their life doesn't mean I would necessarily fall in love with them. I definitely
or even
get
really
it.
Know them.
Or know them at all. I would get a sense of who they are, but their personality and who they are would not be captured.
No.
So that the only time that's captured is through the notes.
The most exciting part of a vacation stay at a home rental? Easy. It's being greeted upon arrival with a rusted lockbox affixed to the underside of a stranger's condo. Yeah, you simply twist knobs, click gears, jiggle it, and then rip it off its moorings, and voila! Your prize is a key to a questionable home rental and maybe tetanus. When you just want to get your vacation started by actually getting into your room, it matters where you stay. At Hilton, we deliver your key right to your phone on the Hilton Honors app. Hilton, for the stay.
Which then we hit a point where the notes start disappearing and they start forgetting. And the whole reason of the film is that because this is happening, yes, it's happening, and initially it's like a dream, you know, like when you first wake up from a dream, it's very real for some people. I mean, for me, like I very much remember my dreams, and some people have a dream journal right next to their bed and they capture the dream immediately while it's still fresh. But dreams are funny in the fact that they fade. You know, I had a very vibrant dream last night and I was thinking about it. And as I'm talking right now, I'm trying to remember the different elements of my dream. And they've really kind of fleeted and gone away. So it's interesting. And this is the exact same situation where these moments were even though I was very omnipresent and I was living in this person's body and their name was always at the forefront, you know.
Yeah.
Even the name can go away.
Right.
And that's the hardest part, because without a name, how do you find somebody?
Right. Well, and I thought it was nice the fact that they both had each other's phone numbers.
Right. I'm sure
I'll just put my phone number in here.
At some point during the correspondence, they realized, you know, at first they're writing on paper. It says, who are you? What's your name? You know, like, just give me your phone number. Let me tell you.
let's just talk about it.
But it doesn't end up working, right?
Right.
But, yeah.
It's just very interesting how that is. Like, people always say, like, put yourself in somebody else's shoes. Like, okay. Yeah, I just did. Literally wearing their shoes right now does not mean that I know them.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's just an interesting thing. Like, you really do have to be a lot more inquisitive and do a lot more work than just, you know, go through the motions.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I loved all of the architecture in her town. I mean, this is all very culturally traditional. And in this town, like, all of these, not so much myths, but, like, traditions haven't been forgotten. When you go to the city, it's like, no, they're totally out the window. Nobody cares.
Right. Right.
Which I just find it so interesting.
Is such a big part. And even like the priesthood and religion that the father has gone away from, but the grandmother still holds to and teaches her granddaughters is something very, very important, and something that in these smaller towns thrives, or at least in this town, we see that at least. Yeah, you know, the fact that this is set in Japan and a lot of the places are actually real places. Like, if you go to the Wikipedia page there on the sidebar, there are photos from some of the bridges and different stations and places that they copied exactly. You know, they really tried to imitate reality. So one thing where the movie really starts to get going is when they realize that she's dead. And first off, they realize that the time is between them, but then he realizes that the city where she's from no longer exists. And he goes and he makes this trip out there and they just can't find it. They can't find her. There's nothing there. And he has this picture that he has drawn from memory, and someone calls it. I was like, oh, yeah, that's the city. That's very beautiful. You know, that was the impact of the meteor. And, you know, then they realize, oh, wow, that was that from 3 years ago, and everyone died. And that's kind of an issue, because how is this still happening, right? In these moments where they're switching, and she is currently switching to him 3 years in the future. And so he wants to do something about it, right?
I would want to do something about it, too.
But the switching has stopped. So by this point, once he discovers that she's actually gone and she's died, that's when the messages start fading. It becomes even less real, because he sees that she's not even a real person anymore. And then he looks and finds her name on the death certificates, or, you know, the list of the people. people who had died, and, you know, then, like, what is there to do? But he goes and he visits the shrine where she was, and he drinks some of the sake that she had created, and they hope that, like, something that, you know, she created this and it would connect her, and it actually, it does.
Either that or gave him one major hangover after that.
right.
I'm not sure if I would be able to believe what was just happening. The fact that, because what the sake is, like, totally fermented and based, very
super duper fermented.
Really, you know, that was some strong sake.
It's very convenient because after this moment, you know, he wants to do something about it, and they switch bodies again. And it just happens to be the day of the festival. And he basically, this is his only chance to save not only her, but also everyone in the town. As they go on this big adventure of trying to save everyone and concocting this plan. And for the most part, it works. I mean, they're able to, this town conveniently has this very old school, you know, 1940s alarm system for announcements. It's not like a mass text message letting people know of imminent doom and disaster. It's got to get on the speaker and hope everyone's in range. But if you see at the very beginning, you know, the grandma just turns it off. She's like, not interested.
Well, because it's about her son at first, you know?
Right. Son-in-law.
But yeah, I mean, this is very old school. Like, you can tell that this town just kind of stopped. And even like her, you know, talking when she's at the cafe, and she's like, oh my gosh, I could live like a month on these prices. He's like, yeah, like 10 years ago.
Right.
Like, yeah, no, this town has just kind of stopped. And it's amazing how they've, obviously they're not going to get the best stuff because they can't afford the best stuff. So they're just sticking with the prices that they got.
Right.
So it's really cool. Like the details that went into it, I really liked. For example, when they went ahead and they did the sake scene where they're, it's like the traditional way of they eat the rice and then they spit it out and then they let it ferment and like, ah, yes. And the guy who's dubbing it, he's like, ah, yes, that old thing, that old tradition, you know. I was confused at that point. I'm like, are they on display? Like, what's going on here? So I actually looked into that a little bit. I wasn't able to get a lot of information, but they do have several videos online you can look into. See, like, what were more meanings to that whole scene.
Ah. Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros, two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude, stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
Interesting. So we kind of hit the big moment where, you know, they're trying to evacuate everyone, and he realizes he needs to kind of, like, be with her. You know, if he's in her body, then she must be in his. And so he figures she's at the crater or at the lake, you know, where the shrine is. So he goes back to the shrine. And then once they're there, she wakes up, and then they kind of sense each other's presence, which is helpful because they're able to find each other, even though they are separated by time. And there's that brief moment where they are able to see each other, hug each other during right before, you know, twilight. And let's write our names. You know, it's like they keep forgetting each other's names. And so they're going to write it. And he writes something on her hand. And then she starts writing. And then it's during twilight is they actually switch back to their bodies and are conscious. And they're back to being them. And there's this very short moment in time where they're able to have this conversation. And like, let's write down our names so we never forget. And it's just very short. And he's able to write something on her hand, but she's unable to finish her message. And he writes, I love you, which we find out later. Which is so...
That does not help.
And then very quickly, almost immediately, they're completely forgetting.
Yeah.
You know, he's just like, wait, what was the name, you know? And so, but the comet is coming by, and then it splits and turns into a meteor that crashes down. And, you know, so he has to go back and still try to evacuate the town. And it actually does crash. So you're kind of wondering what's happened. And then he wakes up in his own own time back at the shrine and can't remember what the heck has happened. So, you know, that's, we're not sure. And then we fast forward 5 years and they're job hunting and getting rejected. He's not very good at interviewing.
Maybe it's your suit. What? Does it look that bad?
There is power in a great suit.
There
is. Always invest in a nicer suit. You will never regret it.
Yeah, no, there is definitely. Girls go crazy for a sharp-dressed man.
Mm-hmm.
ZZ Top knows it best.
So, yeah, you know, they're just kind of living his life, and he's, it's 5 years in the future. He keeps, you know, he's graduating university. He's trying to get a job and just kind of living life. It's kind of almost mundane. He's just going, and he kind of has this history or this thought of, like, there was this person that I knew, and there was also this meteor, you know, that landed and crashed and nearly killed this town, and I was obsessed about it. And it was all I would research and look into, and now I'm not really sure why I did that, you know? And so again, she's just so fleeting to him. But then we do discover that actually hardly anyone died, which is incredible, because he's really this huge hero.
Right.
Incredible hero that no one will ever know about. And he'll never receive the recognition for what he's done. But, you know, he's a hero nonetheless. And then we kind of have the payoff at the end where, you know, they're passing each other. They have this connection. And they do this so many times where they pass each other and they're just like they feel something and they just keep going. Like, no, you need to follow that prompting. Do I know you? Like,
that alarm goes off for a reason.
Right, ding, right, ding, right. Ding. They just like, they acknowledge it and then they keep going. And I'm like, no.
Rewind.
Any time in your life, you need to just, you need to
you turn around and go back now.
Commandy. So we have, and I actually love the way that this ends, is that they say, how do I know you? And they say, yes, yeah, how do I know you? And they ask, like, what's your name? And it just ends on that, you know, asking each other's for their name.
Yeah.
And then that's the end.
Do you think that they would remember at that point?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah.
I think the fact that they have this connection from that point on, the memories will come back. Because now they're not only, you know, with the separation of time, it clearly did something to their memories and how they were able to recall what had happened. And I think now that they had reunited in the same time, you know, obviously years later, but I imagined that, you know, things just start flooding back as soon as they say each other's names. The memories come back. They remember each other. They hug. They kiss. And they probably get married.
We'll be married in the morning.
Yes.
I think they would remember, just because it's like, you know, when you're going throughout your day and then something clicks and you're like, oh my gosh, I just remembered that dream.
Yes.
Because it had everything. And you go from not having any recollection at all to just being able to spout off so many different details you didn't even know that were there. Mm-hmm. So I think so too. I think that they would remember. At least that's what I want them to do.
Your wishful thinking. So I overall loved this movie. It was very much a surprise to me. I didn't think that I would like it, even though it was the biggest movie in Japan in the past few years, and everyone loved it. Everyone was talking about it. It was getting so much praise. I don't know. I was just kind of, part of me was like, I don't know if I'll be into that, if that'll be my thing. And I am so glad that I watched it. And I thought it was just very unique and fun and whimsical. I liked the romance aspect. It wasn't so in your face, love story, kiss, whatever. But like, there were just hints of it there. And it was clearly one of the motivating factors for these two. And it provided something new. But it was grounded in reality, which I kind of liked. Just with like a little, you know, element of fun and surprise. And it was really cool how it all played out.
I enjoyed it as well. I liked how imaginative the story seemed. And as I go back and think about it, I can think of, oh, it's like that movie or that movie. Like, I have a couple of different movies that come to mind as I'm talking about it. But at the same time, I feel like they did a good job of keeping it very much its own thing. It took different elements, but then made it its own story. So I liked that. I liked the whole time traveling thing and the thought of, you know, there's that something out there that you're just searching for, and just like, they're just waiting for that moment to click, you know. I like those things. All in all, I'm going to give this a 4-star rating.
Awesome. Yeah. So I kind of already gave my little review. Loved it. Thought it was great. And the payoff was satisfying.
Yeah.
And I thought it was very enjoyable to watch from beginning to end. So likewise, I'm going to give it 4 stars. So okay. With that, this film actually, the rights have been purchased by J.J. Abrams and his production company, Bad Robot Productions, also by Paramount Pictures. They have the rights to turn this into a live-action American remake, which I think is going to be very successful. I liked this in animation. Obviously, animation is the medium that can tell any story, but I think for this story to gain a larger audience, the live-action format done by an American director will allow for that.
Do you think that they'll stick with, like, locations and things? Or do you think that they'll go?
It'd be interesting to see. I don't imagine them setting this in Tokyo. Uh-huh. It's probably going to be an American cast, but who knows? I'd be fine either way.
Yeah.
But, you know, I imagine it's going to be set in New York City and some other podunk town, right? But
Kansas.
Right. Somewhere that just doesn't even have a stoplight.
Right. I would like them to do more. I mean, I really enjoy films and TV shows from the Asian markets. So I would like them personally to go and do that again, but I just don't think they would just because of, I don't know, it's America, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I just don't think they would, but I would like them to, because I feel like digging into the more mystical aspects of it all would give it more foundations.
Right. All right, so let's jump into our voicemails.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hello, this is Alex calling in to give my review of Your Name. First off, congratulations on reaching your 6-year anniversary. After all these years, my favorite episode is still Spirit Stallion of the Cimarron. Mason's comparisons to the Lion King in that episode made me practically fall to the floor laughing. Other favorite episodes include Toy Story, Toy Story 2, and The Brave Little Toaster. As for Your Name, I thought it was good, but not spectacular. I am not a big anime person, but I was able to follow the story pretty well, and I think that it was one of the best animated films of 2016. I enjoyed the animation, the music, and the plot, although I feel that certain elements could have been explained a little more thoroughly. Overall, I give the film 3.5 stars out of 5, and here's hoping you make it to a 7th year.
Guys are reviewing Your Name. This is a very special movie to me. I've seen close to 300 movies in the last 2 years, and this is my favorite out of all of those. It spoke to me on every level. It starts out funny, and then it takes, and you think, oh, it's just going to be the silly thing. And then it takes this step once you're sort of invested and becomes so deep, so rich, so moving. And to me, the movie is all about the connection that we have with the other. When Taki understands Mitsuha's humanity and who she is, he will do anything to rescue her, to save her, even if she just feels her essence, and that's why he's just searching and searching. He knows this is out there. He knows, and he's trying to put the pieces together. And it's just so beautiful. It's so moving. I love the animation. It's stunning. I love the music. I just listened to the score a million times. I've literally made friends through this movie. I took all my nieces. They all loved it. It's just a really special movie to me. And I just think Makoto Shinkai has created a real masterpiece. So I hope you guys liked it. We'll see, but I love it. So there you go.
If only our voices speak at night, could ever reach the very edge of this world and the time. Instead of fading into air and dust, then what will the words
be? All right, guys, thank you so much for joining us for this episode of the Animation Addicts Podcast. Thank you. Big thank you to Dustin for commanding us to do this movie as part of his patron pick. I'm really, really glad that we were able to do this one. And I don't really think this would have been one that Chelsea and I would have just picked on our own. So that's the cool thing about the patron picks, is that it allows us to see somewhat of a diverse spectrum of films. I do feel that our patron picks are still very heavily Disney dominated, but that's okay, because there are...
like Disney?
There's over 55 canonical Disney animated films, and who knows how many other ones.
I just realized this last week I was going through different movies that we haven't done. We have never done Pocahontas.
Ever?
No.
Wow. Well, we'll get on that ASAP.
So there you go.
Speaking of, our next film that we will be reviewing is an extremely goofy movie, which is not part of the canon.
Oh my.
But it is one of those direct-to-video sequels, and we love a goofy movie. We actually just did wrote a rewatch, which is exclusive podcast just for the patrons, where we go back and we rewatched a film. We rewatched a goofy movie and talked about that. So that's somewhat fresh. And now we'll be talking about an extremely goofy movie on the main podcast, which is open to everybody. So be sure to send in your voicemails for that. You can give us a call at 406-646-6575 or leave us a voicemail at rotoscopers.com/voicemails. If you'd like to leave us your review on Your Name, with or without a period, go to rotoscopers.com/166. Leave us your review. Did you like this movie? Did you not? What were your favorite scenes? What particularly are you looking forward to or not looking forward to regarding the live action remake? Leave those in the comments there, and we will be joining the conversation. And then, yeah, until next time, we are the Rotoscopers. All right, like we talked about, we are talking about the movie No Name.
No! Your Name.
Rewind. Yeah, the whole space-time continuum. Bleh. The whole space-time continuum. Bleh. Come on, get the word right. Get a sense of who they were, are. Or bleh, whatever that word means.
And have a great day at your meeting. Or a great meeting in your day. Whatever.
Yes.
All right, bye, everybody.
Adios.